Oh, there's the Mr. Softy music. It's the WIP afternoon show with Ike Spike and Mr. Softy.
Whoa!
Does that mean it's Jackie baseball time?
Out of my hands.
Yeah, that should be the new Jackie baseball music.
Why?
The Mr. Because you're a softy.
No, I'm not soft at all.
Yeah, well, you could have played. Whoa. Show me the text.
I was prepared to play.
Show me the text.
No.
Show me the text.
I was prepared to play.
Show me the text. The camera, send me the text. Lakin, send me the text. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. I'm not kidding about this text thing. I'm going to get it from somebody.
Will we ever see the text?
I want to see the text. Experience the Mark's difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Do you understand WIP management's decision to postpone tennis today, or was it soft? 73.1% say it was soft. Elliot, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Next week is Mount Rushmore week.
Yes.
On the WIP afternoon show. Go to 94WIP.com/Rushmore. Mm. You give us your Phillies Mount Rushmore, Eagles, Flyers, Sixers, and overall Philly. It's for the last 50 years, which is a change from last year. I think...
Oh, what is it over?
Well, over the last 50 years, so 1975
years, okay.
To now.
Okay.
I think that way we can sort of... Because the interesting thing about Mount Rushmore is the real Mount Rushmore can't change.
Correct.
Even if you had the greatest...
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So we have the ability of changing it. And some of those guys, like the Bednarik thing,
Damn,
we didn't see
them. Concrete Charlie off the Mount Rushmore.
Well,
he's not on there anyway.
That way we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah. Anyone at the station have him on theirs last year?
I'm sure somebody.
I already started working on mine.
Well, you put like eight people on your Mount Rushmore, let's be honest. The big question to me is... Does Jalen make his way on it, and does Bryce keep his spot? I think those two things. Now, there are some questions for you, Elliot, about Reggie White, about Mike Schmidt, those sorts of things. But I think, well, he didn't have them on his. But
maybe the information's changed over the last year.
You never know. Yeah. But I think the Phillies may be being slightly out of favor, and it might hurt Bryce, who was a definite on there last year. Mm-hmm. And Jalen winning the Super Bowl, which I've heard is the be-all, end-all to whether you're good or not, whether he makes his way onto it, whether he ends up taking votes from Foles, you know, whether Foles, the shine
on Foles.
Well, he
definitely has moved past Foles.
You think?
Yeah, I think he's
What do you
moved
mean,
past
do you
Foles.
Think? He's,
I would
of
hope
course,
so.
Moved past
yeah, he's
Foles.
Moved past
they
Foles.
Both won one Super Bowl. And
Jalen's had a far better career.
Foles won the first one.
Right, but Jalen won, in my opinion, the more impressive one, but also
well,
he
was
definitely was the more
he was the starting quarterback all
well,
year.
Hold on.
No, I was going to say, I'm with you. I had to think about that.
Yeah.
The backup coming in.
And outgunning Tom Brady.
That wasn't easy.
I think the 2017 one is more unique, and I think the game itself, the Super Bowl was closer, but the 2022 team, Jalen went from week one, well, training camp.
22, sure. We're talking about last year.
Yeah, but they didn't win it. They didn't win on 22. You
sorry,
know all
I'm
the
sorry,
matters
I meant to
whether
say
you
20.
Win the Super Bowl or
yes,
not.
Yes, exactly. Winning the Super Bowl matters to me. I meant to say 24. Last year, Jalen went from week one all the way there. That matters more than coming in week 16 or 17 like Foles did.
But the story with Foles is... Like one of the best stories of all time.
He said he basically saved the season and won us our first Super Bowl.
It's an amazing story. Jalen's story is also amazing, but in a different way.
The Super Bowl year was not an
Correct.
Amazing
I'm saying
story.
Jalen overcoming like being benched in college, being the backup.
All the overcoming stuff. We act like he has one leg. For Christ's sake.
I mean,
he's blind like Bam.
I mean, honestly, what athlete is more a poster for perseverance?
Why is the violin music so loud?
Yeah, it's like, he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want
to
hear it.
Make sure
perseverance.
Loud.
Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft, and the quarterback was the number one
That's
rated quarterback.
That's not perseverance. That
sure
just,
it is.
No, it's not perseverance.
Do you know how hard it is to become a starting quarterback for an NFL team when you're the last pick
hard,
in the draft?
Every player
Jalen Hurts went to Alabama.
Then every player that's drafted is persevered after
just
like the fifth round.
I'm just saying, like.
What do you got against the fifth round?
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like there's a little bit of salt, like a little bit of extra spice added to the perseverance.
I don't
of
think
Jalen.
There is. I mean,
Jim Abbott pitched with one arm.
No, I'm saying
current. Let's talk about
but
real perseverance.
That is a different type of perseverance.
Now you got benched by a guy who played better.
But being benched in the national spotlight and everybody thinking of you as the guy that got benched and then being drafted to
that
be
was a
backup.
Big deal.
I mean, for real, like he got embarrassed in public in front of one of the biggest sporting events of the year that year. To then go win the Super Bowl as a starting quarterback, we could debate other types of perseverance, but that is certainly up there in recent sports history for perseverance.
It's okay.
And I got humiliated in golf and came back and won baseball.
All
like it just it happened.
Not
and
today.
Then you quit in tennis.
Yeah.
I will
yeah.
say this, the
no
real
quitting.
To your point,
yeah.
I think he surpassed Foles.
Yeah,
I just
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
But
yes.
I still wonder, does he make the Mount Rushmore.
Yes. Does he make the Mount Rushmore?
I started to work on mine last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You know what I love about you? You take this stuff seriously.
Oh, yeah.
He started to work on his last night. He's going to put Kelsey.
Well, I
Lane.
I don't know.
Jalen.
I'll tell you what. He's a Brandon guy.
And Brandon.
Okay, what about Doc? Now, Doc didn't win a Super Bowl.
He's liable to leave Doc off his Mount Rushmore. I guess we'll find out next week.
We'll find out next week.
Well, he didn't. Well, you called him
one quarter century week. You had him number two.
Yeah,
you have to have him on your Mount Rushmore.
Brian Dawkins. I think you had him number one.
Well, do you
one
want me to say
two.
If I have him on?
No.
Okay, we'll find out next week. Then.
We'll find out next week. And you have to wonder. Well,
I don't think that the only surprise would be if he's not on there. I think the majority of people have Doc on their Mount Rushmore.
Tuesdays with Elliot next Tuesday.
If Lane wins another Super Bowl, he becomes the only Eagles player. Or no, Jake Elliott, if he's
still here.
Would have three Super Bowls as well. You know, why don't we go to this? Speaking of Jalen, Danny Parkins from FS1 has been national people have debating Jalen. Mm. And last week I brought up, and I talked to you about it this week, is Super Bowlitis, is the inability to remember what happened because they won the Super Bowl. It's just like everything was great all the time, whatever. Here's what Danny Parkin said about Jalen Hurts.
Here's everything I've said publicly and will say again about Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles. They are the best organization in the NFL, the best offensive line in the NFL, with the best running back in the NFL, with a top three wide receiver duo in the NFL, with a top three defensive tackle in the NFL, with a top linebacker and a top young secondary and a top general manager. Do I also have to believe that you have a top five quarterback? Because I think Jalen Hurts is the 10th best quarterback in the NFL, who is clutch, is a great leader, and is unbelievably smart. But it's like I have to say that he's a top five quarterback. If they are really that, well, then it's the best team in the history of the NFL. And I don't think anybody looks at Philly that way.
It's a good point.
No, so I actually disagree with all of that.
No, he cooked, actually.
Yeah, he really
talk to me.
He really did
it.
So first of all, people do this with Jalen when they go, why? Because he's clutch and he wins and he's a great leader? Like, yes, that is why he's in the argument for it. And also, people completely overlook. Best
he's not
offense,
a great leader.
Well, that's what he said in there. Didn't he say leader in there?
Do you think he is?
I think he is a good leader.
Is he?
I think we could get into a deep conversation about leader, but I think he is a net positive in the locker room, in my opinion.
Really?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Could you just name one other player in the history of sports that had to be begged by his franchise to be a leader?
Hold on. That is part of it. He had to be begged to do was to interact with his teammates more. He is a good leader in setting the tone.
Fair enough.
Right. But the point I'm making is he goes, well, they have great receivers, great running back, great offensive line. Like, yeah, that part of that is because of Jalen. No one wants to ever give Jalen credit for the players that are good around him. Only Jalen gets help from those players. A.J. Brown got traded by the Titans. Saquon's career, he had to go to another team to be better. The offensive line, they're great. I'll give you that. But, like, Jalen has gotten
Saquon was great before he got
here. I know, but Jalen had arguably a better career before Saquon got here. He had been to a Super Bowl. Like, Saquon's career, because of injury and because he was with a bad team, was in need of saving. Would you agree with that?
Like, he needed, right?
So he came here and had a career year. So we never give Jalen any credit for any of the guys around him playing well. It's only ever just those guys are great and they help Jalen. No. And so when Danny talks about all these qualities he has, yes, that's why he's a great quarterback.
No. But I think you missed the point of what he said. Could you tell me another team in the history of football who had the best offensive line, the best running back, one of the three best receiver groups, all these great things that isn't considered one of the greatest teams of all time if the quarterback is also one of the best quarterbacks in football?
I think the Eagles, the 2024 Eagles, ESPN, Bill Barnwell recently, who I think we all agree Bill Barnwell, like, good football mind. I think he had him the third best team of the past 25 years. So the Eagles are one of the best teams of all time. They just are. Now, we can debate like where they rank. Are they fifth? Are they sixth or whatever? But the 2024 Eagles, it is agreed upon they are one of the best teams of all time.
No, it's not.
I think it is.
It's not agreed upon they're one of the best teams of all time.
Well, what's one of the best teams of all time?
Well, again,
15? One of the 15 best teams of all time? They're not better than any of the Cowboys teams. I could probably name two or three.
Yeah, so I think if you're top 15 of every team that's ever played in the league, you are one of the best teams of all time.
All right. Okay.
So that's where I disagree with them. And I also don't think because Jalen Carter is a good defensive tackle, that doesn't mean Jalen can't be a great quarterback either.
But that's not what he's saying. I don't think you understood his point.
Well, what is he saying then?
His point is that, like, not everybody who is on the team is the best just because they won. And if everybody is on the team just because they won, then you're talking about the best team of all time. And like there, it is okay to acknowledge that some players are better than other players.
But I'm not sitting up here and saying Isaiah Rodgers is one of the best corners in the league because they won the Super Bowl. I'm sitting up here
saying... No, but you are saying Quinyon Mitchell is.
I am, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am. But also, yes, the quarterback of the team deserves credit for them being a dominating team winning the Super
credit.
Bowl.
He said he's one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the league.
Right, but what he's basically saying in there is, I don't have to admit Jalen is great. That's like the premise of what he's saying. Like, just because they won the Super Bowl, I don't have to admit Jalen is great. You kind of do.
No,
like,
you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you
when
don't.
You are the Super Bowl winning quarterback.
There's plenty of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks that we don't think we're the best quarterback in the league. Yes, there are.
The majority of quarterbacks that win the Super Bowl, we all acknowledge, are great players and are among the best in the league. There are the instances where people bring up, like, Brad Johnson, Trent Dilfer. Those are the vast minority of quarterbacks.
But there are other quarterbacks who have won the Super Bowl who are not considered one of the best in the league. It's just true. Do you think Joe Flacco was one of the best quarterbacks
in the
league? At the
time, he was considered one of the best. He had an epic postseason run.
He had an epic postseason run.
And didn't
he
get a massive contract that offseason?
And he was... He did. But
right.
He was not... Nobody, if you look at any of the lists, thought Joe Flacco was one of... You have him as the second best quarterback
in
football.
But again, okay, so all right. So Joe Flacco, right? Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger. You can bring up four or five cases, but the majority of quarterbacks that win the Super Bowl are viewed as one of the top five quarterbacks.
I was going to say no worse than a top 10 quarterback.
Right. Top 10. Certainly. Yes, top 10 is fine.
Yeah, but the way, not you, but the way he says top 10, we can be honest in saying it is not being said in a complimentary way. It's being like, oh, I'll give him top 10 because whatever. He deserves to be in the top 10 because of what he's accomplished, not
That's
just because it's a throwaway.
That's what
no,
he
but he's saying it as a throwaway.
Nah, you're being sensitive. You have
I don't
Super
think
Bowl-itis.
I am.
You
and
are.
It's the same way you do, and you're like, well, I have him seventh.
Yes.
Right, but we know deep down when people do those things with Jalen, it is they're just like, well, I should probably put him here. They don't actually, like, he deserves to be higher than top 10.
Well, seventh's, like, extremely fair from where Jalen
it's
is.
Incredibly fair.
Yeah.
I think there's a fairness to it, but to say he's a top 10 quarterback, his resume is better than a top 10 quarterback.
I personally believe he's a top 5 quarterback.
Okay.
He just is.
We can say, just like you did your top 5 players of the millennium, and you or top 5 players of the century, and you said talent for Iverson, talent for Dawkins, talent for Embiid, none of whom won a championship.
Correct.
Embiid never beat a good team in the playoffs, and
Correct.
Allen Iverson won postseason run.
Yep.
Right? Like, so we can look at it, and you can say your resume doesn't always equal for how you are as a player. Sometimes you do, sometimes it doesn't.
I agree with that.
Like, so you could say Jalen Hurts certainly has a top five resume in with quarterbacks in football. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean he's one of the five best quarterbacks. It just doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Well, but it's a large.
It depends on how you're looking at
this.
But also, Embiid, Iverson, and the third Dawkins are all Hall of Fame players.
Sure.
So it's not like I picked guys that, you know, have like so-so resumes. And I'm like, well, they were great one year. Those are Hall of Fame guys. Like, so I'm okay with putting them in my top five. But again, the Super Bowl super matters when you're the quarterback of the Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, listen, when you've gone to two Super Bowls, you've been in the playoffs 4 years as a starter. He may not have the strongest arm. He may not be the fastest, all these other things, but where does those things stack up against what he is capable of doing on top of winning? Because he wins at an elite level, right? Like, those other guys are there from individual talent standpoint. Now, some of them win, like Josh Allen wins, Patrick Mahomes wins, but Matthew Stafford doesn't win at the level that Jalen Hurts does. And not to mention, he had to go be on a stacked team to win.
He won one playoff game in Detroit.
Yeah, before he got to the Rams, he won one playoff game. Then he get put on a stacked team. He didn't even win the damn Super Bowl MVP.
That's a good point.
Like, and he didn't win the MVP of the league. So, some of these things have to be taken into consideration. And as much as some guys look great throwing the football and they have these physical attributes that will wow you, in the end, you can have all of that and not win and be Dan Marino. Or you can be Troy Aikman and be on a stacked roster.
Sure.
And win 3 Super Bowls, go to the Hall of Fame. You may not be viewed as an elite quarterback, but when Troy was playing, I don't know how Troy Aikman wasn't a top 5 quarterback during the time he was playing. How could he not be?
Well, but this is, and well, I want to ask you about Jahad Campbell. We'll get off this. But I, if you ask me who was a better quarterback, Dan Marino or Troy Aikman, I would say Dan Marino.
I would too.
Pretty easily.
Yeah.
And by the way, the Cowboys would rather have Troy Aikman and three Super Bowls than Dan Marino and none.
But here's what I would ask you, Spike. When they were playing in the moment, if you were ranking them based on what is going on in the moment, how could I rank Dan Marino ahead of Troy Aikman if he has three Super Bowls?
Yeah, I think most people would say, though, that Dan Marino is a better quarterback than Troy.
Physically, but I'm saying if you're – well, here's what we're – this is not a physical thing. This is – we know Jalen isn't the most physically gifted guy. So his winning has to supersede some of these guys' talent just because they got – just you know what I mean? Just because you got a strong arm or you can run.
Sure, that's why I have him over Herbert and that's why I have him over –
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The winning has to weigh an
it
awful
does.
Lot.
It does.
It just does.
And what I would say is – if he didn't win at the level he did, his performance would have him like 21st. Like
that's fine.
So I think the winning.
Well, so would Aikman's when you throw for 11 touchdowns in a season.
100%.
But because of his performance, he does win all the time. That's the important context part.
Not necessarily.
Okay. Disagree.
Speaking. Well, you're wrong.
I know. I think you are.
Speaking. Well, you're wrong.
That's all right.
Speaking of performance, Colonial Hyundai of Downey. Colonial Hyundai is top performer. They're all top performers. John Ashdale, number one on any list the cars are. And Colonial Hyundai Fest is number one on any list. Right now, at Colonial Hyundai Fest, the biggest event of the summer, you're going to save up to 10 grand on any new Hyundai in stock. How? Because you're going to get up to 20% off any new Hyundai in stock. And there's a ton of them on the lot, over 300. Over 300 with financing as low as 0%. Can't get lower than zero, I suppose. No, you definitely can't. And $6,500 for your trade guaranteed no matter what condition it's in. Every new Hyundai at Colonial is getting America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. Online 24-7 at ColonialHyundai.com. The Colonial Hyundai Fest, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. Jihad Campbell. So you have been very positive about Jihad Campbell so far in camp.
Yes. So I thought today was easily his best day of practice. So Zach Bond did not practice due to a back contusion. They don't practice tomorrow. We'll see if he's out there on Thursday. But as a result, Jihad Campbell got to get first team reps. And what really stands out about Jihad early on is he is always around the football. And today, he made really good plays against Saquon Barkley and against Dallas Goedert. Against Saquon, the Eagles, first team offense, obviously, ran the ball to the left. Jihad Campbell was over there. As Saquon tried to get up around the edge, he was there. He met him. In a game, I think he actually would have delivered a pretty big hit. In practice, he just kind of wrapped him up. So I thought that was impressive. A, the fact that his legs allow him to cover so much ground. He gets to the sideline quickly. And then against Goddard, Goddard caught a short pass in the flat. And almost as soon as he caught it, Campbell was right there, hit him, actually knocked Goddard to the ground. I was surprised Goddard wasn't a little more upset with with that, but they got up. And he just, you know, I don't know everything he's supposed to be doing out there, but I do know the defense has won the day the last 2 days, and he does not look out of place. So the mental part of it is a big part with him in terms of being able to start week one. And it looks to me like that is coming along very well.
Wow. So there's a real chance it's Bond and Jihad Campbell.
Oh, I think it will be Bond week one. I'm sorry. It will be Campbell week one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I feel pretty.
He's starting. You don't draft the kid in the first round. He's playing.
Well, yeah. I guess my thought was that I think it's surprising that he's healthy.
He's healthy, yeah. I think that was the only question.
Even the way the Eagles talked about it after the draft.
They might be a little surprised that he's
healthy. I thought about this today. Curious where you guys are at with it. If you told the Eagles the day after they won the Super Bowl that they were going to be able to draft Jihad Campbell, do you think they would have re-signed Zach Bond?
No.
I don't think so either.
Wow.
I think they would have just
gone with... Why would
you? Right, you just go with Campbell and Trotter.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a big number, too.
It's a lot of money.
Bond number.
Yeah. Now, obviously, clearly, they didn't know they'd get Campbell. It was smart to re-sign Bond and all that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, look, he's got to go out there and prove it. But athletically, he is very much ready, I think, for NFL athletes. Like, he looks good to go.
He looks like he belongs. Yeah.
He looks like an edge, too.
One other quick thing, speaking of edge, Vic Fangio.
Did they rush him at edge, any?
Not yet.
Vic Fangio was talking about the edge position, and here is what he had to say.
How do you feel about the entire edge rush group in terms of the depth?
Yeah, I feel good about Nolan, and Jalix is making good strides. You know, after that, we had got some heavy competition going on. And, nobody's really truly surfaced yet, good or bad. You know, hopefully over the course of this camp and preseason games, that will play itself out.
Do you just think he's being political? I thought it was weird. I mean, it's weird.
I think Adori found out he's not one for...
Well, yeah. Telling you straight how he feels.
It's like, I would have thought, I've watched Ojulari for a few years. Yeah. Like, when he's playing, when he's not hurt, he is an impressive player. I was surprised. Uche, not so much, but I was surprised that Ojulari has not flashed. We haven't heard anything.
So, I agree. You know, so this press conference was before practice. Now, at practice today, I thought Josh Uche actually had a really good practice. He got a play where I think it would have been a sack, and he had another play where I don't know if he got his hand on the football, because you probably don't want to swing at the quarterback's hand, but he was right there, and Jalen Hurts fumbled the ball as he was throwing it. So either he knocked it out or it slipped out. But Josh Uche did have a good day today. As to Ojulari, you're right. When I was recording the Go Birds pod earlier, it just all of a sudden I thought, wow, I haven't seen or heard anything from Azeez. So he's not stood out yet. Now, it is early. Sometimes he could get pressures that we're not seeing, or maybe he's doing things the coaches like. But Josh Uche has made plays that have stood out. Jalix Hunt has, and Nolan has. Now, I think Ojulari is going to make the team, but he's not stood out yet.
It is interesting how the other players have talked about Jalix Hunt, too. Like, the Jalix conversation
has been awesome.
I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Jordan Mailata compared him to Micah Parsons, right?
Yes, he did.
One thing that was very apparent today, and I learned last year, I'm not going to question the offensive line in training camp, because I thought they were bad last year and they had one of the best years you'll ever see from an offensive line.
Yeah, just sit the offensive lineman out.
Exactly. I'm sitting it out.
But what
I am saying is the defensive line, I think, has been really, really good the past few days. And today, overall, I do think this is important to talk about. Like, the offense was bad in the red zone. And in the red zone, you should be getting touchdowns. Like, when I tell you Jalen has 28 touchdowns passing in training camp, normally 20 of those are inside of the 20. If you do red zone, you get 4 or 5 touchdowns that day. They ran probably 11 or 12 plays today inside the 20. Jalen had one touchdown, which in my opinion was kind of a throwaway touchdown. He's probably sacked in a game, and it was a 10-yard pass to Will Shipley. But outside of that, he had to throw it away twice. He had an incomplete pass to Dallas Goedert. He had an incomplete pass to Anaya Smith. And it really wasn't him, to be honest. Like, the offense is not clicking. But the defense, I thought, very much won versus the offense in the red zone.
Hmm. Could that be a Petullo thing?
So Cam Jurgen said yesterday, in between saying my stats don't matter, that that the offense is still installing things and the defense is kind of already set up. Now, Vic Fangio disagreed with that today when he was asked about that.
Of course he did. I also thought
the whole thing with Petullo was continuity. Yeah.
Well, that was going to be my whole thing off of what Cam said. It's like, hold on.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Aren't you guys doing the same things you've been doing? Even if you haven't installed it all, the majority of the offense has been here.
But my thing is, if you're Kevin Petullo, this is your opportunity to show what you can do. Like, that's where sort of the ego of things gets into it, I think, a little bit, is that you finally get this job. You don't want to run the same plays they ran last year. You know, like, part of you is, I want to put my stamp on. I'm not saying right, wrong, or indifferent.
You want to run what works.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you want to add your own sprinkle to it. I totally get that. But this is an offense. I don't know if you want to just go in there and completely overhaul everything.
It just looks to me like the defensive line is ruining a lot of plays.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Yeah.
That's good news. Also good news, the Go Birds podcast comes out every single day after every practice as well.
Yes.
You can get it wherever you get your podcast. It's hosted by that guy, L.H. Shore Parks. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Coming up next, we are 2 days away. We are 50 hours from the baseball trade deadline, and it seems like another guy might be off the list. I don't know after what happened last night. Well, looks like a guy, I don't know if he's injured or not injured.
I do have an update on him.
Didn't look great. Okay. That is coming up next, 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Have you experienced...